Its basic error is in supposing that God is logically simple. Simple not just in the sense that his being is indivisible, but in the much stronger sense that what is true of any part of God is true of the whole. It is quite coherent, however, to suppose that God, while indivisible, is internally complex.
Ward gets it right here. Indeed, the biologist Julian Huxley in 1912 defined complexity in terms of heterogeneity of parts, by which he meant a particular kind of functional indivisibility. Elsewhere, Ward gives evidence of the difficulty the theological mind has in grasping where the complexity of life comes from. He quotes another theologian-scientist, the biochemist Arthur Peacock, the third member of my trio of British religious scientists, as postulating the existence in living matter of a propensity for increased complexity. Ward characterizes this as some inherent weighting of evolutionary change which favours complexity. He goes on to suggest that such a bias might be some weighting of the mutational process to ensure that more complex mutations occurred. Ward is sceptical of this, as well he should be. The evolutionary drive towards complexity comes, in those lineages where it comes at all, not from any inherent propensity for increased complexity and not from biased mutation. It comes from natural selection, the process which, as far as we know, is the only process ultimately capable of generating complexity out of simplicity. The theory of natural selection is genuinely simple. So is the origin from which it starts. That which it explains, on the other hand, is complex almost beyond telling, more complex than anything we can imagine, save a God capable of designing it. An interlude at Cambridge. At a recent Cambridge conference on science and religion, where I put forward the argument I'm here calling the ultimate 747 argument, I encountered what, to say the least, was a cordial failure to achieve a meeting of minds on the question of God's simplicity. The experience was a revealing one, and I'd like to share it. First, I should confess, that is probably the right word, that the conference was sponsored by the Templeton Foundation. The audience was a small number of hand-picked science journalists from Britain and America. I was the token atheist among the 18 invited speakers. One of the journalists, John Horgan, reported that they had each been paid the handsome sum of $15,000 to attend the conference, on top of all expenses. This surprised me. My long experience of academic conferences included no instances where the audience, as opposed to the speakers, was paid to attend. If I had known, my suspicions would immediately have been aroused. Was Templeton using his money to suborn science journalists and subvert their scientific integrity? John Horgan later wondered the same thing and wrote an article about his whole experience. In it, he revealed, to my chagrin, that my advertised involvement as a speaker had helped him and others to overcome their doubts.
The British biologist Richard Dawkins, whose participation in the meeting helped convince me and other fellows of its legitimacy, was the only speaker who denounced religious beliefs as incompatible with science, irrational, and harmful. The other speakers, three agnostics, one Jew, a deist, and 12 Christians, a Muslim philosopher cancelled at the last minute, offered a perspective clearly skewed in favour of religion and Christianity.
Horgan's article is itself endearingly ambivalent. Despite his misgivings, there were aspects of the experience that he clearly valued, and so did I, as will become apparent below. Horgan wrote,
"My conversations with the faithful deepened my appreciation of why some intelligent, well-educated people embrace religion. One reporter discussed the experience of speaking in tongues, and another described having an intimate relationship with Jesus. My convictions did not change, but others did. At least one fellow said that his faith was wavering as a result of Dawkins's dissection of religion. And if the Templeton Foundation can help bring about even such a tiny step toward my vision of a world without religion, how bad can it be?"
Horgan's article was given a second airing by the literary agent John Brockman on his Edge website, often described as an online scientific salon, where it elicited varying responses, including one from the theoretical physicist Freeman Dyson. I responded to Dyson, quoting from his acceptance speech when he won the Templeton Prize.